nyc.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing, the law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Good chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 30 tonight under clear skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, highs around 54. Cloudy tomorrow night, 30. Turning much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 40.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions, who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Some prominent Wisconsin Republicans expressing skepticism about former President Trump's plan to run for president again in 2024. Former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan told ABC News, quote, "I want to win and we lose with Trump. It was really clear to us in 18, in 20, and now in 2022, unquote. Ryan, who criticized Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election and calls himself a never again Trumper, said those elections underscored declining support for conservatives in Wisconsin suburbs. WISC News reporting that Trump's lead decreased by nearly 7 percentage points in Ozaukee County. In 2016, Trump won Wisconsin by 27,000 votes. In 2020, he lost by about 21,000. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Outright Opinion Show with the Haseman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Haseman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Hi, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Packer Outright Opinions with the Haseman Brothers. Or is it the Haseman Brothers tonight? It's not, but we have a guest. We have a guest host, Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show. And actually, more importantly, of the Green Bay Packer fan tree as he grew up. Look at him. He's got a helmet in the background. He's got the shirt on. He's wearing the G. He's probably got a tattoo somewhere.
Nowhere appropriate, perhaps.
But it is Todd, filling in, co-hosting tonight with me on the show to talk about the Packers the day after Thanksgiving. And it's fun, and Evan's here too. Evan, how are you doing, man?
So well. Such a thankful giving this week.
Because it is. It really was. Yeah. I mean, it is good stuff. It's a nice break, right, in the middle of kind of all this to get a chance to spend time with family.
Too much of a break for me.
Too much.
I mean, I'm...
Look at that.
You know, here I am.
Man.
It's Friday. I'm here.
You're back.
I'm back.
You are. You're working hard, trying to do the right thing. That's what Evan always does. Hey, and Todd's with us tonight. So, again, welcome into the Packer Outright Opinion Show. We are going to expose Todd to some things he probably has not had exposure to on the radio before.
I'm just honored to be here. I'm like an honorary Haseman bro for the night. You know?
Wow. Wow. Well, that's, yeah, I mean that's
pretty
better
than all Jason and Todd all day on, you know, Civic Media, because you were on my program, our pre-recorded, buy a local program this morning. And here we are tonight. So between you, me, and Evan, I mean, we are the glue that's keeping Civic Media together on a buy local Friday.
You got to have glue people. You got to have the glue guys, right? Or the glue people here in the organization. And, you know, I would consider us more even like the anchors. I mean, we weigh
you,
Civic
you
Media
Evan,
down.
You and Evan, perhaps.
Wait, was that wrong? I was going to say we hold down the fort, but then I actually said we weigh Civic Media down. So maybe we are more like anchors than we are.
No, it's we hold them down.
Oh, we hold them down. Yes, okay. Yes. There you go. That's more appropriate, more accurate. Okay, well, let's talk about Packers here tonight. We welcome Todd into the show. It was Thanksgiving. Welcome you all. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving yesterday if you partake in that. If you don't, that's cool too. It was a day to maybe get a little break from things. Today was a busy day, a Friday, Black Friday. Everybody loves that. Not everybody, not me, but some people like it. Other people get out there and do a bunch of shopping and enjoy that sort of stuff. Hopefully, if you did shop, you shop local and you listen to the Todd Alba Show and you did that today. Another thing that happens this time of year quite often is sickness. We got sickness going around, and so did the Green Bay Packers, Todd. Now, look at all this stuff. They're trying to lock it down. They're trying to prevent guys from, you know, all getting this sickness that's going around the team. So it's been kind of a weird week for them as well. And look, these are the things that can come into play where all of a sudden it's not an injury situation, but you get all this illness going through your club and you're in this close proximity all the time. And all of a sudden you're missing a bunch of key guys at key spots. And it could happen this Sunday unless they get control of this thing.
It's everywhere. I mean, I'm here in the RC, home of WRC. CE on the Civic Media Network, and I'm here at Mom's house, and that's why it looks so festive already. And we, my nieces, they came back, came down from Eau Claire. They've got the group. We were all in masks and sitting separately, like we were back in COVID times. And so, I mean, it's thankfully I'm so far so good. But yeah, it's everywhere, and I think you're absolutely right. It's one of those things this time of year, teams dealt with this during COVID-19. Now it's this kind of weird respiratory stuff. Trainers and medical people, they have this big job just to keep the teams healthy. And this can really affect play, and it could come on like that. So, I mean, these coordinators from the head coach on down, you've got to know who you're going to plug in there, because on game day or game night at any given time, you may have to go to your second or third string guy.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur talked about it this week, about how this was reminiscent of what happened to them in the playoffs in 2019, where they had this rash of flu go through the team and had a bunch of guys, you know, during the week, questionable, didn't know if they'd be available. Some of them were, some of them weren't by the time they played the game. Some of them that were available probably still affected by that and affected their play. So, I mean, I don't know. This is just as bad and probably worse than any sort of injury situation, because even though it's more short-term generally when you have a sickness or an illness going through, even though oftentimes the team is not all clustered together, you have these position groups that are in close proximity, and all of a sudden, if you have a rash of it go through like your offensive line, your receiver room, whatever, I mean, what do you do at that point? It's really difficult to try to figure it out and get guys out there on the field.
I mean, there were guys, who was it a couple of years ago, but there was a player that basically had a we'll keep it as clean as we can, but a bowel situation where he had to like run into the bathroom and just couldn't control himself. I mean, it's slightly funny, right? Because I mean, we've all been there. We've gotten these really bad illnesses, and then you go try to run and then get sat on or try to tackle another guy. I mean, it can just get real nasty real fast. So I mean, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, but yet it's not, to your point. Also just the pure energy and strength of a player, right? So I mean, if you're just getting over this stuff, you don't have the energy to run as hard, to tackle as hard, maybe to grip the ball as hard. So these are the little things as you're watching, as a casual fan. I'm not a professional fan like you, but as a casual fan, you think, what the heck is going on with some of these guys? And they could be going through some of this stuff. I mean, I watched the Dallas game yesterday, and I mean, my gosh, I mean, the Cowboys are just running over people. I mean, did they suddenly see the light after visiting Lambeau, or are these other teams just ill? I don't know. I mean, they look like they could win a Super Bowl any minute.
I'm still not sold on that. The Cowboys still find their way into or out of success, I think.
But did you watch the game?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they looked fantastic.
They did. But
they crushed the Vikings.
Week to week, it goes like that, right? And that's how it's really strange in the NFL. And that's why you can't. You're only as good as your last game. And they always say that all the time, and it's really true, because it changes all the time. There's so many variables, but the sickness and the illness is definitely one that is a variable that can be tricky to deal with. Todd, I have no idea. Let me just clarify and define what you just said there. You said a professional fan. Does that? I think the definition
of
that
are.
Is that you put more of your time and energy into it than you probably should. I think that's what you're.
But you're getting paid for it, though, as well. I mean, you're hosting a professional program, and one of the things I love about this show is you and your brother. I mean, you're a broadcasting professional. Your brother doesn't do this full time, but I mean, you guys put the time into this to know what the heck you're talking about. But yet you also bring the passion to it, and I think that's what makes this program unique and great.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we like to have fun, but we also, I mean, we've been fans our whole lives pretty much, and then we always have plenty to say, and we like to look at football a little more closely and a little more analytically than your average fan, let's just say that. Okay, you know, because there's a lot.
I told Jason this week, for those who are listening or watching, I said back in my broadcasting days at UW Platteville, my broadcasting partner Kevin O'Connor was a great broadcaster, knew everything, and we had a promo of he and I, and it said, one of these guys knows sports like the back of his hand, we just hope the other guy can find the stadium. So, you know, I was here for the comic relief.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's turn our attention back to the Packers. So the sickness and the illness is real. It's a real thing that's happening right now. People got to deal with that. The coaches are trying to figure it out. But like you alluded to, I think COVID and protocols and different things like that probably helped them out in this situation to keep, you know, detect early and also have a plan in place that would keep players separate so it wouldn't be spreading around. And they basically said, like, hey, if you got these symptoms, don't come to work. Hopefully more and more, that's kind of the situation across the board for many of us. And the Packers are no exception to that. Hopefully that doesn't impact the game. Now, it's basically, Todd, at this point, and I know people, we had big hopes and we thought they were going to win the last game. And if they did, the season looked so much better. And after losing to the Titans, everybody, so many people are like, oh, the season's dead. The season's over. And we'll finish up the last segment talking about a little of those ideas and whether that's true or not. But this is it. It is playoff time for the Green Bay Packers starting this week. Every week is pretty much a must win. Now, they might be able to lose one more game in the last six and still get in as a seven seed, but it is do or die. And the biggest thing for me is I want to see these guys play with effort, the effort like their backs are actually against the wall, and it's do or die. Because I haven't seen that from everybody, and I certainly didn't see it last week against the Titans.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's the streakiness of this team. And I think, you know, I'm not inside Aaron Rodgers' head, thank God. But I think that's one of the things that probably, you know, as I've watched him over the years and as a casual and sometimes, you know, getting paid to watch the sport, I really think that's one of the things that drives Aaron Rodgers crazy is because he is, whatever your other feelings are about him, he is a consummate professional, right? He watches the tape. He knows things inside out. And I think that he does not suffer fools gladly. And so he tries to bring the top game. And then when other guys aren't doing that, I think he's just kind of like, what the heck, you know? And I think that frustrates him and brings his game down. I'm not here to make a bunch of excuses for Rodgers. He hasn't played great either. But to your point, they have to show some consistency. And I think if I'm the coaching staff, the management staff, that's what's concerning me. It is the lack of consistency and just doing your job. If you're going to get beat by the other team, that's one thing. But if you're not bringing that professional consistency, that's what will just drive coaches and other people crazy.
Yeah, 100%. This team has been incredibly inconsistent, hasn't picked each other up. A big part of that is leadership. And that's one where Ben and I talked about this before the season, early on in the season. All of that was, where is the leadership going to come from this team? Because Aaron Rodgers has never been a strong leader, but he's paid and in the, like he should be one, and he's in the position to possibly be the strongest leader on this team, but that's not his personality. And then you put that together with end of his career and the way he's stepped back from football and not there for all the activities and engaged like he had been earlier in his career. And where was that leadership going to come from? I mean, it's easy when things are going well, but when you get down and things are going rough, somebody's got to pull everybody together. Somebody has to kind of settle the ship and also give guys a kick when they need it. And we haven't seen it. And that's been, I probably think, the biggest issue for this team is a lack of leadership. They do not have a take charge head coach that's going to whip everybody into shape. And they don't have players on this team that are going to be assertive enough and really basically call guys out in a way that's needed. I mean, Aaron Rodgers will do it publicly when he doesn't have to look you in the eyes. But you need somebody who's going to, like, kick you in the butt and say, guys, look, it's do or die time. And it is. And if we don't see the urgency this week, you can point right to leadership. And that's probably the biggest problem with this team overall. So we got a break coming up, Evan's telling us. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a recent article. We're going to talk about the broken thumb, ow, digits that hurt, and some other things on the other side of the break.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Listen, wait, that's Devil Radio.
You can hear quite a bit from the late, great Chris Cornell tonight. On tonight's show, talking about the Green Bay Packers, it's welcome back to Hafen Bros Packer Outright Opinions. Special guest Todd Alba with us tonight. Co-host Todd Alba, wearing his green and gold. Todd, when the Packers don't play on Thanksgiving, how do you experience that? Is it easier for you? Is it more fun, more relaxed? Like, what do you do when it's a Thanksgiving with a Packer game or a not a Packer game?
Traditionally, when I don't have a Packer game on, like this year, I curl up in the corner in the fetal position with a cheap bottle of Cabernet and suck my thumb. So no, I'm just kidding. It feels weird, right? I mean, it's like, so I'll admit it because, so I'm 53, a little older than you. And I remember the Packers were terrible, right? Me too. I mean, just terrible. Yeah. Like in late 70s, you know, early 80s. So I was kind of a closeted Cowboy fan because they won and they were cool. Oh, and so I kind of, you know, I don't mind watching the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, but when the Packers don't play, it just, everything feels weird. The turkey doesn't taste as good.
Fair enough. I forgive you for liking the Cowboys ever. And secondly, look, it's...
it was an experimental time in my life. I tried the Cowboys. It wasn't for me.
Oh, man. I mean, look, there's not history there. I just have like some cousins that are big Cowboys fans. And they always end up getting heartbroken, too. But so do we as Packers fans. So I guess we're all kind of the same. We've all had Mike McCarthy as our coach. Hey, Lee gives us a good one. He says 12 has been consistent all year, consistently bad, and that's pretty much true. Look, Todd, I mean, you mentioned it before, and maybe, you know, you're kind of being nice here to Aaron Rodgers. He's currently 27th in QBR rating here and only averaging 231 yards per game. So it's been a rough... I mean, there's 26 guys ahead of him on this list when you look at a guarded measure for quarterback play.
But nobody ahead of him when it comes to tops in ayahuasca ceremonies.
Yes, and also...
So he's got that going for him.
He also drives a big bus and throws plenty of people out in front of it. So that's he's number one at that, too. Let's see. Here's an interesting article. Aaron Rodgers, the big news. We got to talk about Rodgers through this segment. Then I promise, after this segment, no more Aaron Rodgers talk. I promise. Okay. All right. Aaron Rodgers, broken thumb, right? Reveals it after finally having more terrible games and another terrible game where he missed throws. Then it's leaked out. Was it leaked out by a child? Is that really how it happened?
That's what you told me.
Oh my goodness! I mean, he'll use anybody.
He went to visit some kid in the hospital and tells him this.
I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't care who you are. He'll use anyone to get his messaging out, so it covers. You know, he carries a big shield. It's a great shield. I was up again. So anyway, the perplexing part of all this says he has a broken thumb in his right hand. Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff never considered sitting him down with that broken thumb. Todd, history is repeating itself. Is it really repeating itself? Don't we remember when Brett Favre had a broken thumb in his right hand and played terrible and the team won 4 games? Don't you remember that season?
But he kept playing. The 16-year streak was still alive. He was the Cal Ripken of the NFL. I mean, it's all about masculinity. How much pain can you take and keep going?
But if you play like trash, we don't really want you out there. Can we get somebody else in there? Like, come on.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, does that come down to Rodgers just saying, no, I refuse to sit. You're going to have to bench me and then creating a whole thing? Or, I mean, I don't know. Or do they really feel that 12 still, even hurt with a broken thumb, that 12 gives them the best chance for success over Jordan Love? And I think that's the bigger question, right? Because if that's the case, you know, a 12 with a broken thumb versus a healthy Jordan Love, I don't know. I mean, that probably says more about Jordan Love and the Packers organization than it does about Aaron Rodgers.
That is the part that is always a big question mark that we can never know, because we're never inside those meeting rooms. We're never inside the heads of Matt LaFleur. And I've told Ben this many times. I'd love to take Matt LaFleur out for some beers, get him a little tipsy, and get the real scoop on some of this stuff. But we're not there yet. You know, we haven't even met. So we got to meet, and then we're best friends. We can take that opportunity.
Just think, once Civic Media has the new station up in Green Bay,
yeah,
you will have a beehive to launch off with. I mean, you can invite LaFleur over after the game to the studio, sit there and have drinks.
Direct access, yes, inside 1265. That's where we'll be. I mean, so anyway, you're listening to us tonight on Devil Radio, 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM out of Madison in South Central Wisconsin, and then up in Amory, Lake Eyre, 1260 AM. And you might even be hearing us over in the Twin Cities area, because sometimes that signal gets over there too. So we're glad to have you along for Packer Outright Opinions. Todd Albaugh joining me tonight. Todd, it's just this whole article I'm looking at, and I just can't believe it. It leads, Ben and I have been talking about this for a while, that, look, Matt LaFleur is the one with the job on the line, right? His job, he's going to be the first one to be ousted if this goes totally sideways and if there's a short leash, right? They're not going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to can other players. They're not going to get rid of the GM even before they would get rid of him. So we have been calling for Matt LaFleur to take control of this team, and it just seems like either he refuses to, or it's not a good match for his personality, which means he probably should have just stayed as an offensive coordinator and not a head coach, because I don't know if he has what's required to grab hold of this team.
But see, I don't know. I mean, to your point, is LaFleur the one that's really on the line here? I have to wonder that, because you and I talked about that this week a little bit, about that Sports Illustrated article that came out when he was first hired. And Mark Murphy called up Rodgers reportedly and said, "What was the line? Don't be the problem."
Yep.
And so that started, in my opinion, a lot of this bad blood, right? That basically Murphy was saying, "You ain't the dog anymore. I'm the top dog, and you're going to listen to me." And so if everything falls apart, if they don't make the playoffs, my inclination is they're going to blame this on Aaron Rodgers. And they're going to say it really is time to move on. We gave him a chance. He didn't perform. I don't think that Murphy wants to admit that he made a bad coaching choice. I don't. And I think LaFleur stays longer than Aaron Rodgers, regardless whether they make the playoffs.
We'll see. Be back for more after this.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hey, this is... This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts, and a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you, and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
We may be thousands of miles apart, but we can still connect. And when we do, we make things better. At Child Fund, we connect children all around the world with what they need to grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Together, we co-create connections that help millions of children who live in poverty worldwide, and their families, and their communities, and you. Join us. Together, we can make the world a better place. Two small worlds at a time. Visit childfund.org to learn more.
The Devil's Advocates.
Well, if the rapture comes, I hope they take me and leave Dom.
If the rapture comes, we'll be here tomorrow, Mike, taking your calls. We certainly appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Come on, man. You must mean the royal we.
So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Hey, if you want to go meet your maker, Crudy, don't let me stop you.
I'm your maker, man.
844.
You've already met him.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 30 tonight under clear skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny skies and calm again tomorrow, highs around 54. Cloudy tomorrow night, 30. Turning much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Mixed precipitation possible at times Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 40.
Or it could be that bad. It really could.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
The only game,
sadly, you're right.
The only game they won handily was against the Bears. So
But it's kind of like the Wisconsin Badgers and this week's game against Minnesota. Right. As long as you get the axe back from Minnesota, it's a good season. As long as the Packers beat the Bears, you know, if nothing else, it's a good season.
Then they got to have some sort of traveling trophy with that one, too, that matchup. Would
that be great?
That would make it more fun and also more palatable if you're having a really rough year. If you just had something like that token you could bring that back to, you know, your fan base with. That is fun, though. Again, the Gophers here in town in Madison tomorrow. So look forward to that game, and hopefully the Badgers pull it out. They're still trying to win games and finish on the right side of things. And I think they can still be bowl eligible, correct?
They are bowl eligible. They won. They beat Nebraska last week to become bowl eligible. And so they have six wins on the year now. And so tomorrow, if they beat the PJ Flexters, they'll have seven wins. So maybe get to a warm weather climate bowl, hopefully.
Very nice. Very nice. We're going to come back to Badgers before the end of this, but we're going to talk about Packer rookies here first. Now, Evan, you know, the Packer rookies have been pretty exciting to me this year, and we're going to have Raider Rick here, I think, calling in to talk about a rookie and his team. But, Todd, look, Quay Walker, we've been screaming for an inside linebacker for a long time for this Packers team, a difference maker, a really good athlete. Because when you looked at defenses across the NFL, the difference was speed on the interior, speed at interior linebacker and speed at safety, physical, fast guys that could cover a lot of ground, right? So they're good in pass defense, but they're also good against the run. And the Packers would never make a big move to get a guy like that. They passed on guys the last few years and finally got Quay Walker this season coming in. And I don't know what your thoughts are on him, but so far, I think he's been pretty impressive as a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, let's give credit where credit is due, right? So, I mean, I think there's a pick that went right. And, I mean, you and I are talking off the air a little bit. I mean, to your point, Packers need to get better football players, or better athletes, not just football players. And you have to ask me a full package. And I think this guy clearly could do that. It's a learning process, but it's one area where I'll give Murphy and Gutekunst, whoever's pulling the trigger these days, they got it right.
Well, we got Raider Rick on the line here. We'll talk about more Packer rookies in a little bit, and he's going to lead us into one of our other Packer rookies that we have to talk about. But Raider Rick is with us here to talk about the Packer rookies and then also a rookie on his team that I was pretty excited about. I actually wanted the Packers to draft. But Raider Rick, how are you doing tonight, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. And go Gophers.
Oh, jeez.
Well, come on. He got his one of his degrees over there, and he works at the U of M. So, Raider Rick, you know, we give him a little latitude there.
It's not often we have the axe. Let the Gophers enjoy it while they can.
Raider Rick, what do you think about Quay Walker?
I think, you know, I was a little skeptical of the pick when they made it, but, you know, of the guys on the team, he's showing some fire. Yeah, he makes some mistakes, but he's a rookie. He'll hopefully learn and adjust, but, you know, he's got some speed. He plays more aggressively than just about everybody else on the defense. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like what I've seen so far. He needs, you know, there's a lot of room for growth, but I think he's got a lot of upside, too. Hopefully he can be a playmaker for years to come.
He's one of the guys consistently I see playing hard, too. So that's, look, you do that, you can, I'll forgive a lot of mistakes if you're playing hard and giving good effort and on the field. And he's been available as well. Aside from, I think he had one small injury, and then he got that ridiculous ejection from a one game, which was a big overreach by the official there, overreaction by the official. But Quay Walker actually has 82 tackles on the season. He's played the last handful of games. He's played, you know, he's played 100% of the snaps against Detroit, 100% of the snaps against Dallas. He's been in the 80s and 90s here in snap percentage of defensive snaps for most of the season. So you have to say that that's a pretty good rookie pick. Also, some of the other rookie guys to highlight, Kingsley Enagbare is getting more action now, and that kid in limited time was making a difference. And now with Rashawn Gary out, Moore's been put on his plate, and he's playing pretty well too. So watch out for him, number 55. And then Christian Watson, the other guy who's really shown up lately. Look, that kid's a difference maker. If he can get consistent catching with his hands and really shore that up, he could be, you know, ceiling. There is no ceiling for that kid if he can catch the football.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, Watson, a lot of people have been getting on him because of the nagging injuries, but, hey, those things happen. Hopefully you can put that behind him. But you know, the kid's playing hard. He's got some speed. It's a difference maker on the offense and on an offensive team that sorely needs someone like that. You know, they got Aaron Jones. He's not utilized the way a lot of people would like to see it. Having a receiver that has some speed, he's got some physicality, you know, just plays kind of balls out, trying to make some plays. We need more of that. Right now, this team sorely needs that. And, you know, hey, if it's a rookie bringing it, so be it.
Yeah, Christian Watson is actually has 18 catches on the season, 10 of them for first downs, and 5 touchdowns on this, in limited action since he's been back. So he has been a difference maker, and watch out for that kid. I think he needs to be nurtured a little bit more and not have a guy who's all over him like Rodgers was early. I think you gotta ride the confidence. You gotta boost the confidence. You gotta nurture that kid so he can fully blossom into what he should be. Raider Rick, you know that I love offensive line. Todd, I was just telling him how I love offensive line. You've got an offensive lineman over, and it's been a rough year for the Raiders. You know, first of all, we have to thank you again for taking that Devontae Adams contract off the Packers books. Thank you so much for that. Number one, number two, I know it's a rough year, but hey, you got a rookie on that O line, drafted 2 spots ahead of the next guy we got to talk about. And he started every single game.
Raiders offensive line, to talk about a sad decline. You know, they went from having one of the better lines in the league to just being the start of the season, looking at the roster, like, okay, who's going to be the 5 guys that are going to line up? You know, it sounds a lot, quite a bit similar to the Packers situation. But that said, Parham, one of your guys coming into the draft, he's been a bright spot. You know, the Raiders obviously didn't have much draft capital to play with this year after trading it for Devontae. So I think he was their first pick of the draft in the 3rd round. I think he played some guard and tackle in college, but, you know, so far he's been an interior lineman for them. Played some, I think, left guard, some center. It looks like he's settling in at right guard. And, you know, granted, their offensive line, nothing to brag about, but he's doing a pretty decent job so far. You know, he plays compact, he plays hard, he's a solid interior lineman, kind of stereotypical guard, kind of has the guard build. I don't know, I think there might have been some talk about him possibly being a tackle in the NFL, but he was only 6'2", 6'3", I think, over 300 pounds, so I think it's more of a guard build personally. But, you know, I think they're doing the smart thing by keeping him inside. Don't try to move him all over the place like some other teams have done with a lot of their linemen.
Including the Packers, which means that guys never settle in anywhere, and they're just, I mean, if you change them every single week, man, that's tough to figure out. But yeah, Dylan Parham from Memphis was drafted number 90. Number 90, okay? There were other guys earlier in the draft this year that I wanted. I wanted Zion Johnson. We couldn't get him. He was gone at number 17. I wanted of course, 2 years ago, I wanted Quinn Miners, and they could have had him like a couple times, and they passed on him. But we were where we were. They let Lucas Patrick go in free agency. They lost some other guys. Royce Newman was terrible. Now they're all talking. There's talks about maybe cutting Royce Newman. Like, I mean, it's just crazy, right? How far all of that has fallen. But you knew this team needed more interior offensive line help. They missed out on Dylan Parham because they waited too long. The Raiders took him at 90. At number 92, the Green Bay Packers selected Sean Ryan. And Todd, why is Sean Ryan in the news? Because it isn't because he's been on the field more than one snap this year.
He had some Cheerios or some tricks or something. He had a little extra, as we say, back at Richland Center. Got caught with some PEDs, some illegal substances, some performance-enhancing drugs. And he was going to take a little vacation for the rest of the season, as it turns out.
First of all, Ben and I went to camp, and we watched him, and he just looked... Uh-huh. He looked slow. He was supposed to be a power guy. He looked really slow.
He hadn't taken his whatever yet. That's why he looked so slow.
I mean, maybe that's what he was thinking. I can't get on the field. And so he went, you know, to try to boost that up. But still, I mean, he just did not look the part at all. He did not look ready. He was a 3rd-round pick that should have come in on a line that was beat up and competed and been a guy to maybe challenge some of the existing guys that were coming back. He was not that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think he should have made the roster, to be honest with you, but he was a 3rd-round pick, so they put him on the roster, and now he's played 1 snap. I think it was a special team snap, by the way. It wasn't even like on regular offense. It was a special team snap the whole season, 1 snap, and now he's suspended for the last 6 games. That is a disappointing rookie. Okay, let's talk about some other good rookies before we go. We have Zach Tom, who's filled in admirably when asked. He's actually played four different offensive line spots in games this year. And also Romeo Doubs, before the ankle injury, was really coming on and doing some good things. And Samari Toure, a seventh-round pick out of Nebraska, doing some good things. And one more guy, he was a first-round pick, but Devontae Wyatt, in limited snaps, he's shown some flashes. So I like what I've seen from all those guys. And what that should tell you as a Packers fan is that the future is bright. And stay watching these games, regardless of the outcome, because these young players are getting some snaps, they're contributing, and you get to see what they are. You get to see how they kind of grow and evolve as the season goes on. And then coming into next year, I think there's a lot to look forward to from this rookie class. This has been the most impactful rookie class that I can remember for the Green Bay Packers in a very long time, at least 10 years, maybe 15 years. I don't. My memory doesn't go back much more than 15, so it's definitely around that time frame. Okay, Evan, it is time for a beef. We have a beef. Before we get to the break, Todd has one, and he was telling me about it over the break as we were discussing certain things. Todd, it's your time here in just a second. All right, Todd, what is your weekly beef for the Green Bay Packers?
My beef is that the Green Bay Packers time and time again keep passing on Wisconsin football players. I don't care whether it's the Badgers, Whitewater. There's even been a couple of good kids out of La Crosse. They keep passing. T.J. Watt could have been a Green Bay Packer. They passed on T.J. Watt. You understand? You go right down the list. A time and again, Jake Ferguson. Did you see Jake Ferguson last night score a touchdown yet again? But one of the best rookies for the Dallas Cowboys. You got Barry Alvarez sitting next to Jerry Jones up in the owner's box each and every week, living it up, laughing it up. He should be at Lambeau Field. You understand? Barry should be at Lambeau Field watching his grandson play there. And he doesn't because the Packers, they got a hard-on because for Wisconsin football players are against it. I don't understand it. And I'm sick and tired of them coming down, paying, you know, lip service to Badger players at this workout camp they do every year, and they keep on passing. So Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, get your act together and give Wisconsin football players their due and start drafting some of these guys besides Vince Beagle. I mean, that was nice, but what, he lasted a year? T.J. Watt should be a Green Bay Packer. That's my beef.
Well done, Saad. Well done. And you're right. I mean, the most mind-boggling thing to me is that the Packers draft all of these guys from the South to play in Green Bay, Wisconsin in the wintertime. Yeah. It makes zero sense. Zero sense. And these guys who play at Wisconsin, and it's not like the Badgers haven't put out NFL-caliber players in the last 25 years. They put out a bunch of them.
But and look at,
history,
to
bring,
your,
history,
to
bring,
your
bring
point.
It all the way back, Todd, to Troy Vincent. T.J. Terrell Buckley and Troy Vincent. Who do you go with? Who do you go with?
The Wisconsin player. And to your point, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers needs support. He needs a line around him. Big, beefy Wisconsin lineman to protect his old body. Draft Wisconsin people, for goodness sake.
His frail body. Those bones break easily. We'll be back to finish up the Packer Hour Opinion Show.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
FM and WTTN 1580 AM.
You're old enough to know this song?
I should have my headphones right. What was it? I couldn't hear it actually part of the time.
This one is Drawing Flies off well, of...
That's appropriate. Some of those picks are a bunch of crap. So, I mean, nice job, Evan, on the pickup of the music right there. Sweet.
This is off of Bad Motorfinger. By my estimation, one of the top five rock albums of all time.
Really?
I don't know how you... Do you feel me on that, Evan? Bad Motorfinger? I mean, is it close?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I can almost... And even... I can see Lenny right now jamming out on that bass. He's got a bottle of Jack Daniels hanging off his pinky finger. Forgot where he put it. But he's killing it, you know? That's what I picture.
I've got to... You know, what I've got to say is I look at albums, too, not just at the hits, but I want to, like, cover to cover, song to song.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, I mean, that album is listenable, like really good songs all the way through. So, you know, the Outshined is probably the biggest hit off of there, and you think of that. But, I mean, Drawn Flies, Room a Thousand Years Wide, Mind Riot, all kinds of, I mean, really good stuff. Slaves and Bulldozers. Hey, Todd, if you haven't heard that one, go check out Slaves and Bulldozers from Soundgarden after the show.
I'll put that on my watch list.
Yeah, put it on your list for sure.
My Spotify.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the question is: Is the Packers season drawing flies? Is this Packers season over with? Like everyone wants to think it is, or freaked out after the loss to Tennessee. Now I was an optimist. So many people said it's done, it's over, this team has nothing. We have seen, Todd, there's a formula for the Packers to win. And we have seen there's a formula to ensure that they lose. Do you know what that formula is, or should I tell you?
Please enlighten me, oh Packer fan extraordinaire.
It's really simple. It's a really simple formula. So you would have to think that people who analyze and study the team, like coaches and maybe even players, might know this by now.
Maybe.
Okay. In... Six of the seven losses, the Packers have lost seven games. In six of these seven losses, they have passed the ball more than twice as much as they've run the ball.
Wow. All right.
And every one of those games, they were not behind by more than 10 points. And most of those games were one-score games pretty much the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So... And the flip side of it, they won four games, okay? They lost one where they ran the ball more. But they won four games where they featured Aaron Jones, where they ran the offense through Aaron Jones, where Aaron Jones had 25 touches or more. They won four of those five games.
Bingo.
So the formula is run the ball, be balanced, give it to number 33, and you have a very good probability of winning. When you do the exact opposite of that, and you pass it twice as much, in some cases more than twice as much as you run it, you are guaranteed to lose. Every time you've done that, you have lost this season.
But how much of that is, obviously, you got the statistics. I mean, it's true. But how much of that do you think is, again, this internal confrontation between Rodgers and LaFleur and, you know, hey, I'm the MVP. I'm 12. I need to get the ball. I can win this. And this ego out there versus what you just said. Hey, A-Rod, here's the stats, baby. You ain't getting it done. How about we win a game? You know, I mean, at what point does the ego go aside and we actually try to win a game? I'm not really. I mean, I'm making a little bit of fun of it, but I believe that's an internal conflict that they can't get through. I don't know. Do you think I'm crazy?
No, I mean Rodgers. The power struggle between Rodgers and head coach and everybody, basically everybody else on the team, is real. And right. For the most part, they tiptoe around the god Aaron Rodgers. And that has proven to be a big detriment to this team, especially this year. Look, the offseason, we talked about it. The offseason, this past offseason, was their chance to cut the ties. That was the opportunity. That you were never going to get more for Aaron Rodgers than we would after back-to-back MVP seasons. They had a trade partner in Denver. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. And then they extended him and gave him more money, more power, more say, and they basically turned the keys over to him this offseason, and now they're stuck with it.
I don't want to go down a dueling tangent, to use the name of one of our shows by Luke and Brian, but to go on a quick tangent, I honest to goodness, I mean, I really thought that it was done. I told people that's the last time you ever see Aaron Rodgers in the Packer uniform after the last game last year. I thought he'd be gone too. And when he came back, I'm just like, what the heck is going on? And it's very confusing to me. And I don't know what the strategy here is. Why did they just acquiesce? Did they really not think that Love was ready? I don't know. It's just, it's all very odd to me. And I think that if they really want to win, you're absolutely right. Run the ball. Do some of these shorter distance, more high percentage completion throws to Watson, build some confidence, and then, you know, keep running the ball, and then get these quick short passes to Watson to advance the ball. And then how about this? We win. How about a win?
How about a win? Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, if you start with a running game, and that's what worked so well in the Dallas game and others, where they stuck with it, even though they were behind, it opened up all that play action pass game. Which, that's when you can hit big plays. That's when you give guys advantages off the play-action pass, right, where the linebackers react. And that's just the situation. And for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers does not like to play that way. He likes football to be harder. I don't know why, but he does. He likes it to be harder. Now, I'm going to give you a little hope here, Todd, and that is, this is my prediction for the rest of the season.
As Jesse Jackson once said, keep hope alive.
I will. I say the Packers win at Philadelphia Sunday night.
Whoa!
Then they beat the Bears. Add them up. Yep. Then they beat the Rams.
Whoa,
then they lose to the Dolphins. But then they beat the Vikings and beat the Lions. Actually, I think they're going to go into the last game of the season, Lions-Packers. And that might be for the seventh seed in the NFC.
Whoa. Jason Hayes getting wild out prediction. On the limb.
I'm stepping way out there. That board's long and it's not very sturdy, but I'm out there. I'm on the end of it.
I don't know. I think Philadelphia, they look awful good. It's at Philadelphia, right? I think it's going to be a tough game. I think the Bears are winnable. The Rams are winnable. Dolphins, as you said, is a tough game. Vikings, it depends which Viking team shows up. It's at Lambeau, so that's going to help a little bit. But then the Lions, I mean, you got to feel good about playing at Lambeau with the Lions. So I think this week is a huge game because everyone is, right? But boy, you get a win on the road against the Eagles on this one. Suddenly, now your chances at that seventh seed, as you said, become real.
Look, the Packers have to play like their season depends on it. They should have been doing that the last couple weeks. They haven't. Maybe they'll start this week, and maybe it could turn the tide. Regardless, I'm going to watch all these dang games, whether they stink or not. But you can enjoy those rookies. Thanks for being on the show, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks once again to Evan. Slaves and Bulldozers.
He's the greatest.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.